Good morning. I'd like to welcome everybody. Title of today's lesson is Near in Their Mouth, But Far from Their Mind. Going through the motions, giving the lip service, near in their mouth, but far from what's on their mind. Dick read our passage today in Jeremiah. Chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. It says, "Righteous are you, O Lord, when I plead with you. Yet let me talk with you about your judgments. Why does the way of the wicked prosper? Why are those happy who deal so treacherously?" I just want to pause here before we continue. This first verse speaks volumes. It starts out, "Righteous are you, O Lord." That's a lesson all by itself. Just the righteousness, the graciousness of God. But yet, God the Creator lets us come to Him boldly and offer up our heart, offer up the concerns of our mind, and we can talk with Him about His judgments. I don't know about you. I just shake my head sometimes at some that prosper, that are so wicked. They seem to prosper without being checked at all. But yet God is still in charge. Kurt, could you check the temperature? I see a number of people bundling up like Nanook of the North, and poor Maryland's turning blue. So, trying to help you there, Maryland. It's amazing how wicked the world is, and that they seem to go unbridled and unchecked, but yet God is in control. God is in control. And it goes on to say in verse 2, "You have planted them." Yes, they have taken root. They grow. Yes, they bear fruit. "You are near in their mouth, but far from their mind." They're given the lip service, these wicked. They're given the lip service of God, that they love God. You know, we sing the song, "Oh, how I love Jesus." But we don't do what He says. It goes on to say in verse 3, "But you, O Lord, know me. You have seen me. And you have tested my heart toward you. Pull them out like sheep for the slaughter, and prepare them for the day of slaughter." Even though on the surface some are wicked and seem to be going through the motions, giving the lip service of praising God, God knows. And He knows, just like in verse 3, He knows us. He knows our heart, that we're true, that we're loving, not like the hypocrites. Isaiah 29 says something very similar. If God said something once, it's important. But when He repeats concepts over and over and over again, you know it's important. Isaiah 29, verse 13 says, "Therefore the Lord said," it's not hearsay, this is not, you know, I heard it down on the street corner, "the Lord said, inasmuch as these people draw near with their mouths and honor me with their lips, but have removed their hearts far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the commandments of men. That's easy to do, easy to fall in the trap of, that God's there, they honor me verbally, but their heart is far from me. That is something that we as Christians, as loving members of the church, never want that to be said of us. We never want that to be said of us. That, oh yeah, they say the right things, but they go on and do the things which displeases God. In Mark 7, Jesus said the same thing. These are important. In Mark 7, verses 6 and 7, it says, he answered and said to them, well did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites. As it is written, these people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me. In vain. They're going through the motions. They're putting effort in. But it's in vain. Teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. How often do we see that in the world? People teaching as doctrine words that man have come up with. Standards that man has set, not God. And this is coming from the words of Jesus. In Romans 12, we see how to avoid that. Those first few verses that we looked at is setting the stage of what is. Some people do this. Here in Romans, Paul is explaining how to avoid that and how to be seen as pleasing to God. Paul tells the Romans, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed, changed by the renewing of your mind, and that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We were talking about this verse in Wednesday night Bible class recently, and we don't want to still be molded to that image that we were in the world. We want to break out of that. Don't conform to things that we shouldn't, but be transformed, changed. And how do we do that? By the renewing of our mind. Nothing we say, nothing we do, doesn't first go through our mind and heart. I don't know about you, I've said a number of times, well, I didn't mean to say that. Yeah, you did. Your mind and your mouth aren't disconnected. The mouth just doesn't have free rein to say what it wants to say. Every action we make is because we've consciously, it originated, it was born in our mind and in our heart. And Paul is telling them, be transformed. Be changed. How? By the renewing of your mind. Don't have the same old mindset we had when we were in the world, before we were Christians. And by doing so, it says, you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That we can demonstrate, not only to God, but to others. Others can see that. In Colossians 1, verse 10, Paul wrote, that you may walk worthy. Walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. There's that mind again, transforming the mind. And how do we do that? By increasing in the knowledge of God. And how do we do that? Put a Bible under our pillow at night? Where it can absorb? No, you gotta open the Bible. It helps to open it and put some time and some effort. Reading the scriptures where we can prove ourselves workmen who need not be ashamed. Rightly dividing the word of truth. But it starts off that we have a walk worthy of the Lord. That our walk, not just going through the motions, not just giving lip service, but that the way we conduct ourselves is worthy of the Lord and what He did for us. The Apostle John wrote in 1 John chapter 1, verses 6 and 7, starts off, if we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. John is kind of calling people out on this. The people that give the lip service and say one thing but do something totally different. He says, if we say we have fellowship with Him, if we say we're Christians and walk in darkness, the two aren't matching up. We lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, again, if we walk, not once in a while, but live there. Walk in the light. If we walk in the light as He's in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. What a benefit that if we walk in the light, not only do we have fellowship with each other, but we have that continual cleansing. There's a big, big difference in stumbling and living in sin. And not only did Paul talk about how we should walk, but the Apostle John is saying the same thing, that we should walk, live in the light, not just shine a flashlight once in a while. Walk in the light as He is in the light. 1 Corinthians, Paul is telling the Christians there in Corinth in chapter 14. In verse 15, he says, what is the conclusion then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will also pray with the understanding. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will also sing with the understanding. Paul's explaining what has been criticized as being hypocritical, saying one thing and doing another. That with praying, I will pray with the Spirit, but with understanding. I'm not just going to go through the motions. I'm not just going to do a rote prayer and my mind be a gazillion miles away. And he says the same thing about singing. That when I sing praises to God, the Father, I'm going to sing with the Spirit, but I'm also going to sing with the understanding. I'm not just going to be singing words without thinking about them. It's when we sing together, it's a form of praising God. It's also a form of teaching. This is for another lesson or another study sometime. We need to make sure songs we sing are doctrinally sound. But we, how many songs do we sing? Don't even think about the words. But we sing, we hit every word. What if it's doctrinally wrong teaching that the man wrote the song? It's not scripture. Somebody wrote a song. We need to make sure when we sing, we need to make sure when we pray, we need to make sure when we're worshiping, we need to make sure when we're serving, we're doing it with the Spirit and with understanding of what we're doing. And we'll close up here with John 4. This is the account of Jesus and the woman at the well. Samaritan woman. A Samaritan woman who thought they worshiped the same God, but they did it differently. And Jesus is correcting her. And Jesus tells her, but the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers, will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship Him. He doesn't just accept any old worship. He is seeking those that worship Him in spirit and in truth. And it goes on to say in verse 24, God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and in truth. We don't want to be the hypocrites that Jeremiah, that Isaiah, that Jesus warned of. We want to worship in spirit and in truth. Not that we're not. It's just a good reminder for us to be pleasing to God and to be giving the right message to others. If you need to respond to the invitation through prayer, repentance, baptism, whatever you need, please come forward while we're leading the invitation song. Let's stand and sing together.